I think every entrepreneur goes on a journey of self-discovery and self-reflection, which maybe when you set out to start a business, you don't expect that you're personally going to go on as well. So.
Are you content in your business? I'm Si McMahon, and I'm on a mission to help business leaders and brand owners succeed through sharing stories, advice, and inspiration. This is the Content in Business podcast. Welcome to Content in Business, where I share stories, advice, and inspiration to help your business succeed and avoid being one of those businesses that fails within the first 5 years or the first 10 years. And we share stories and advice from people such as Abisola Ifeasuwa. I hope I got that right, Abby.
Thank you. Yep. My name's Abisola Ifeasuwa, and I am the managing director of Tegamea, a virtual business support agency here in the UK.
I just should have checked the pronunciation before the call. I do apologize
for that.
but thank you for joining us. It's great to speak to you. First of all, tell us about Tegamea.
So Tegamea is a virtual assistance agency here in the UK. We supply virtual assistance to growing businesses with the support of various administrative tasks such as email and diary management, supporting with lead generation. We can support with research, invoicing and bookkeeping, lots of different things, email marketing, kind of supporting you with just your core business activities as well. Whether that might be kind of also support with client onboarding or employee onboarding. Those are some of the things that we can support businesses with.
And how does that manifest itself? I mean, in terms of like the communication, is it you know, just direct speaking? Is it via email? Is there a system or...
It's a combination of things. So on the back end, our virtual assistants use Asana, project management tool, to kind of track all of the tasks that they do for their clients. But generally, we try and keep it as kind of relatable as possible. So it is a lot of, like, you know, Zoom calls, or I won't say a lot, but it is based on Zoom calls and messaging and emails, that sort of thing. But what you typically expect working in an organization, our virtual assistants are kind of integrated into the client's business.
How long has the business been running for?
4 years last month. We started at the beginning of the pandemic in March. Wow. And we were incorporated in April. 4 years. It's been a good journey, lots of learning, lots of growing. It's definitely not the same as it was when it started, but it's good. I'm pleased with where we're at.
Has the journey been everything you expected, or?
I would say that when I've set goals, certain goals for myself, I've been able to achieve them. So in that sense, the journey has been what I've kind of wanted it to be. But in the sense of, like, the personal development that comes from it, and some of the challenges I've experienced, I think that definitely hasn't necessarily been what I expected, That's not necessarily in a negative way. It's just that I think every entrepreneur goes on a journey of self-discovery and self-reflection, which maybe when you set out to start a business, you don't expect that you're personally going to go on as well. All journeys are hopefully good journeys if you take the learning from them and have that desire to kind of improve and grow as well.
I think the kind of curse of the entrepreneur is that you end up becoming, well, you end up pretty much doing every job at first, don't you? You know, you like you say, it's a steep learning curve. Trying to learn so many areas, but you also end up, you know, if something needs doing, who does it fall to? You know, ultimately the book stops with you. And obviously the idea is building a team and growing and obviously you've got you'll have your own support there to run things, but ultimately, yeah, decision making when things need doing, they need to be driven from the top.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was having a deep reflection with myself last week that yes, everything does stop with me, and kind of like and as I said, going into a new year, what are the things that, you know, I want to achieve within the business over the coming years, and that again falls down to myself, my own vision, my own ideas for where the business is gonna head, and thinking even about what's coming in 5 years down the line. Again, it's me that has to make that ultimate decision. So that sometimes can be challenging because at the end of the day, you've got to take that risk. You've got to bet on yourself and on where what you expect to kind of what you want the outcome to be in the end.
And it's the decision, and it's also the drive and the motivation as well. You know, so it's very easy to kind of ride the wave, and actually, you know, you really need to be kind of steering the ship type thing. And kind of pushing it forward. So it's always good to hear when people are looking, you know, 5 years out and considering the future, because it's very easy to become reactive and try to just keep up with the workload and keep going day to day, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that's where our sort of business tries to kind of help others to become not as reactive by having systems and processes in place. And I recognize that in my reflections last week, I think I did a LinkedIn post around it, is that, you know, we as a business that helps other people's business kind of grow and scale through getting their operations more organized, we ourselves have to be kind of almost the epitome of that when we are behind closed doors, so that we can obviously help our clients do the same. And I would say that for me, when I'm looking at my service quality, thinking about how to take those wins and make sure all the learnings, making sure that those get implemented within the business, that's quite key, and something that we really want to kind of be able to do, so that way we're not always, that's one aspect of us not being reactive to things, is by seeing, okay, this is an experience that we've had, how can we put processes in place so that way in the future when this situation arises, we've got a seamless set of processes that would help us sort of navigate those challenges more effectively.
Yeah, you've got to walk the talk, haven't you? You know, the when you're exactly like you say, you're offering a service, you've got to practice what you preach. You know, and I'm using all the metaphors here, but we, you know, with content in business, I mean, obviously, we as a business, Playfair, do content for people, and generally, it's on. You know, it's consistent monthly kind of delivery of this of consistent content on time, to brief, high quality. And the first thing that we realized when we created Content in Business was we've got to make this a client, because actually, you know, the people are going to see if someone is interested in working with Playfair, they'll see Content in Business, and you know that's us on the line, you know. So it really needs to represent what we deliver, you know, in terms of the depth of the content and the frequency of that content, and you know, all everything around it. And actually, the first thing that tends to go to the, we always say this in marketing, is the first thing that goes to the that goes off to the side, especially when you're busy, is the marketing of your own business.
don't ask me how long I haven't posted on Instagram for. It goes up, it goes down, it goes down.
Like you say, you're trying to keep up with the day-to-day, yeah. That's the thing. And it's but I mean, it sounds like the business is grown really well. What do you think it is that's got you to this point, has got the business to this point?
That's a good question. That is a very good question. I think maybe number one, maybe service quality. I think that's one thing quite a few of our customers have really kind of have really said about us, and not to kind of brag, but I think that has helped in terms of word of mouth referrals. So a lot of our customers have come from our existing customers who have kind of shared about our business. So that helped during the times that we weren't doing a lot of like outward facing marketing, because that helped for like clients to just come sort of organically. So I'd say that service quality, they always say like once you've got your product or your service kind of to a high standard, it will sort of also speak for itself. So I think that's one thing that has worked. I would say I think maybe along that line is just the investment that we put in our virtual assistants as well. I try to make it a place where even though everyone's working remotely, there's still a sense of culture within the organization, and that people feel like that this is what it kind of aligns with their purpose and where they're at in life. And I think that helps to contribute to that service quality, because virtual assistants, although some people may think that it can be a very easy thing to do, it actually can be quite challenging when you've got 3 to 4 clients that you're managing, and you've got to understand their businesses, if they're from different industries as well, have different kind of back office things that you're dealing with, and everybody wants things at a different pace or different times. So I think investing in our virtual assistants and in their understanding and knowledge and capability of dealing with those sorts of situations have kind of helped us kind of maintain that service quality as well. And I just say learning. I see books behind you as well. I'm constantly just like interested in my own personal development and growth. And I think you can't neglect that as a business owner. Always learning and trying to push myself. So I think those are some of the things that I would say has really helped the business grow.
Yeah, I can imagine, again, from just like with a marketing side as well, I speak to a lot of other marketing businesses, and, you know, the biggest challenge is you need to be an expert in the client that you're representing. You know, if you're writing something or doing some research or putting something together or proposing something, you need to kind of get to their level of knowledge or certainly a close enough that you can, write a piece of content that represents that business or something like that, but yeah, like you say, then you've got a number of clients. It's not just one for the client. They're one business, one thing that they do. But I can imagine for your team, they're, like you say, there's multiple clients that they're switching from one thing to another across a range of industries.
Yeah.
What's the kind of vision for the company? What's your kind of ultimate goal?
Oh, world domination. No, I'm joking. I'm actually not joking, but
yeah, it's taking over the world.
That's what we all want to do, don't we? But I think so we currently offer virtual assistants. We've sort of been kind of moving into an online business manager space as well, and being able to offer those two different services. But also expanding into training. So I have like a very rich project management and business management background. So bringing an IT as well. So bringing all of that into training, that's not necessarily just for like VAs, but other people who are operational specialists to kind of build their learning and kind of look at different parts of the world that we can kind of expand our reach into as well. So those are the things that I kind of see for the business.
I suppose if you're saying about, say, you know, some you've got people in the team that support with, say, email marketing, I guess the thing is they can teach that potentially, can't they? You know, and that's another option there, you know, ultimately, because you can teach someone you might be kind of, I think there's always a fear of people feel like they're giving away their secrets if they teach them, especially if they give out free content and things like that, you know. Well, you can't tell people what we do. It's like, well, yeah, but they're paying you to do it. You know, whether they know how to do it or not doesn't mean they're going to do it.
That's true.
So sometimes it can be a kind of, you know, yeah, this is how you do it. And it's like, no, I still, that's great.
Still want help.
I don't have the time.
Yeah. It's just letting me know that you know what you're talking about. So when I come to you, you can actually deliver.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's actually thought leadership then, isn't it? You know, and which is a great way of establishing, you know, kind of authority and trust and everything as well.
Yeah, I'm going to add that to the list. We've been building like a list of things that we want to kind of build content around, and just like how to sort of videos. So the email marketing, definitely going to add that to our list of things to teach on.
Sounds if it makes sense, if you've got the knowledge in the team, it makes sense to see how far you can push it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
What do you see as the challenges in terms of going forward and getting realizing the world domination vision?
Marketing. I think that's probably the thing that I am kind of particularly sort of interested in, and realize and begin to realize more and more the importance of it. You need an audience to kind of build, you need to have an audience or find a market to kind of sell your products or to share information and that sort of thing. And I think as I've gone on in my journey and I've kind of seen other businesses around, sometimes you find, or I've seen how, you know, people with larger followings or have built a kind of platform based off of maybe personality or kind of maybe entertainment or that sort of thing, and they've built a large following, sometimes that has been easier for them to build businesses off of the back of off of the back of that audience. And where we are a small business and not necessarily have thousands of people kind of either following us, it's how do we build our audience? How do we find the people that are wanting our services? And I think that is the key challenge. Not to say that it's unattainable to understand what those groups are, but actually investing in the resources as well to kind of find those audiences and sustain the level of engagement needed to kind of build that confidence from people.
Yeah, I mean, we hear it over and over again. It is because a lot of it is time. You know, the running the business, and once you get good at what you do,
yeah,
that kind of becomes quite easy. You know, not easy, but you know, it is the bread and butter. It is, you know, running the business, delivering to clients' expectations, the high quality work. You know, if you've got the right team, then it's generating the new clients, and a lot of that is down to is time. It's just pure time and effort, and it's one of the hardest things to then bolt into the business and make as important as the existing work. So we hear that all the time. Yeah. I mean, what do you do at the moment in terms of marketing? What have you found that works? What have you found that's challenging to kind of, you know, in your journey so far?
I found those events actually to be really, really beneficial for us. So attending events like the SME Expo, where I met yourself, or small networking events where we have the opportunity to showcase. I can take a virtual assistant along with me. Those have worked really well for us, and allowed us to speak to people. I would say I've had one person, this is probably going to sound quite shocking, but I've only ever had one client actually come through from Instagram. And that was when I literally first started the business. And I think I did like an ad, ran an ad on Instagram. And to think I've posted since I first started and I haven't actually gotten a client. Someone can say I'm doing something wrong, maybe I am, which is fine. But also that one client that I got at the beginning has been a voice to get loads of other clients. So sometimes I say that social media for me is at the moment is there for us to show that we have a face and that we are there. You'll go on there, you'll see probably up to 100 or so posts. The audience is growing on there. But for me, that still kind of intrigues me because, you know, there's a lot of virtual assistants on Instagram and actively promoting their services. But I think maybe because of maybe the price point of our service and the types of businesses that we do work with, a lot of their entrepreneurs, a lot of the founders or the people, decision makers in that those businesses aren't usually on Instagram looking for those services. So we sort of pivoted a little bit to kind of start doing a little bit more on LinkedIn. So we're kind of like in the early stages of utilizing that a bit more. But ultimately, I think just getting out there and speaking to people, showing our services on display by people speaking to the VAs, seeing like the quality of like the brand and things like that has sort of helped.
Yeah, that's a really interesting story, actually. That one client that came through in the early days and being the only one, but then kind of case in point, I guess, in terms of, you know, you never know when that activity is going to provide success. Sometimes it's after some time, sometimes it's straight away, sometimes you get a spike, sometimes it's consistent. I guess with the time that you've worked with them and the you know, the way it's grown, it's always it'd be interesting kind of cost exercise to go, okay, well, the you know, what did we spend on that activity versus what have we actually you know, earning revenue from it. I can imagine that would be an interesting thing to do.
Yeah. Even like the stalls, the exhibitions, we did our very first one in 2021, I think. And I probably spent about 700 on the actual exhibition stall. And we gained one client from that. Obviously, you meet people, you speak, get loads of consultation calls afterwards and that sort of thing. Everyone's excited and interested. And that one client, we got about 2 years later. I think she just signed with us. Yeah. But the return from that one client, like what I spend on that stall, I probably double or triple that every month from them. So sometimes it's just about being there to plant the seeds, and maybe absolutely, that's learning for me and my business, and maybe other people can take them, like you just said as well. Sometimes, you know, you plant the seed and it doesn't water itself just overnight. It kind of like takes time to grow and to nurture and you know, keeping in contact, building relationships. And I think maybe the email marketing is a way to kind of keep in touch with people and show, you know, the progress of the business, give tips, that sort of stuff. And I think when people are kind of see the value in something, they will always come back, even if it's when they know, because I have a lot of clients actually that, you know, it takes sometimes about 3 months for them to realize, okay, after the consultation call, I just need to get certain things ready in my business to accommodate the VA, and I'll come back in 3 months, and they do. And sometimes that's just the way it works.
Well, that's a case in point again about, you know, business development and marketing is so hard to measure, because it would have been so easy to just write off that £700.
Exactly.
And say, well, that didn't work, did it? What was the point in that?
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, you know, two years later, it's just proves that it's a tough thing to do, but it is worth doing. No one can ever say, okay, well, what am I going to get for my money then? I spend this much money, am I getting it? And you go,
you can't go back to somebody and say, oh, I didn't get anything from that, give me back my money.
Come back in 5 years and I'll tell you. But so a final question for me is what's the one piece of advice that you would give to another business owner or someone in your position?
I would say good question. I guess maybe this depends on what type of business that you're in. But I think figure out like what makes what you're best at, like what makes you tick, and the things like the different characteristics or skills, knowledge and experiences, like really hone in on them and understand them, because I think that will always come through in your business, or help you shape your business. Like I said, I've had extensive background in operations, and that's really helped me to shape Tegamayor. I know that you've had a marketing background, a design background, so that's helped you with Playfair. So I think you've also said on the podcast, know what makes you tick and then outsource the rest. So yeah. I would say, you know, focus on what you're really, really good at and outsource the rest. A combination of what I would say and something I've heard you say as well. So yeah, that's what I would advise.
No, I love that. I think, like you say, you're thrown in when you create a business, you're thrown into having to understand all sorts of different areas. But yeah, ultimately, I think for anybody realizing the value of you know, what you bring, and I think passion is you're absolutely right. Passion is a massive part of it. You know, what makes you tick. If you don't enjoy it, then what's the point? You know,
yeah.
There's everyone's got something that they enjoy. I remember spending, you know, many of the early years of my career trying to be good at everything, you know, trying to learn as much as possible, you know, assuming that I must have an opinion. If I was in a meeting where they were talking about logistics or something, I was like, oh, well, I'm in this meeting. I need to provide value, surely.
Yeah.
You know, and then as you go through your career, you kind of go, guys, why? I got stuff to do. Just
okay.
You know, I'm not gonna add any value to this conversation. Like, you want to talk about something else? Absolutely, but
yeah.
Absolutely love that. That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for being a guest, Abby.
Thank you, Si. It's been good to speak to you.
Thank you
for having me.
Yeah, it'd be a really, really interesting conversation, and I mean, obviously, we'll link to your website and your social profiles in the show notes, as well as a description of what Tekemea is about. And really, really good. We'll catch up in the future, I'm sure.
Definitely.
And we'll keep in touch. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Si.
And again, to everyone listening, thanks for watching. Well, that was a mess up from me. And again, to everyone watching or listening, thank you for keeping with us, tuning in every week. Make sure that you follow, like, subscribe. I know a lot of you don't. I know that you rely on the social media feed, but please do make sure that you're connected just so you don't miss anything. That you can follow us on the podcast platforms, you can follow us on YouTube, and you can follow us on social media as always. And apart from that, I will say, see you next time.